It's the Playhouse Podcast with Kat and JJ on demand, even if you're on the can.
Dude, come on.
So everyone's talking about Kate Middleton and how she's taking a long time to recover from her stomach surgery. But how long did it take you? And if it's kind of like a normal common surgery, did it take you way too long to recover? Those stories a little bit later on in the podcast. Here we go.
Get out with LPP. Can you help me?
Other people's problems. It's kind of like our group therapy session. We get a lot of people that have something going on in their life and they'd like to ping the audience and kind of most of the time, honestly, this comes from, I think this, my husband thinks this, yeah. We can't figure it out. Who do you guys think is right? And very excited to get Tracy on with us this morning. Tell us what's going on here, will you?
Okay, so check this out. I had a great night planned for my husband and I.
Okay.
We got a babysitter. I had everything secure, right?
Yep.
Well, we're not needing her any longer, so I did call her back, right? I let her know within like an hour, maybe 60 minutes, that I didn't need her. She didn't need to come. Everything was fine. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, we're going to have other plans. Everything was great. I thought it was fine. And then I get like a phone call from a friend of mine who's like, yeah, so you might want to give her a little bit of something for, you know, inconvenience. And I'm like, inconvenience?
If this happened to you, would you give her some money?
I would probably let her know that there is a date in the near future that we're going to reschedule and then maybe throw her an extra $10 because maybe she did have some plans that she called off, maybe a sleepover or something because she was looking forward to this money. Kids never get money. I know that when like Liam knows there's like $20 coming his way, you know, it's like, whoa. I didn't have that $20.
But then if somebody called him 60 minutes before he was going to get his $20, would he still expect the $20? Do kids expect that money if something gets canceled?
Think about it as an adult. If you think that you're going to get maybe a bonus from your boss and it never comes or something like that, you're like, oh, you know, I heard rumors that there was going to be, and then you already have it planned and spent in your head and then it never comes to fruition. But
I'd be interested to see how you would handle this. You decide to get a babysitter. You're going to go out. Plans break. You don't need the babysitter anymore.
But the mom calls you and says maybe tries to encourage you to do, in her mind, the right thing. Throw my daughter some money.
I don't know if I'd be paying that kid.
You'd just say sorry,
plans
change. I just
think that it is what it is, man. Stuff happens.
I feel like your wife would have that in her heart to be like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your trouble.
You know what they don't do here? They don't pay me because I decided to almost come into work and didn't get here. You didn't do the job. You don't get the money.
Well, what if, here's a situation for you. What if there was a gig on Saturday and they said, yep, get ready. You change your plans on Saturday. You wake up at 8 a.m. Your gig's at 11. They say, oh, they canceled.
I still get the money. I've done that before. I still get the money.
You don't get the money.
Absolutely, I have.
I have
ran that all the way up the pole saying, I missed my son's baseball or hockey game for this. I'm going to get paid.
Maybe they told
you got to get that money from
the
client. Or it was on my check.
I've never heard of that.
Here's how this works. She and her husband are going to go out. They call a babysitter. The babysitter says, yep, I'll be there, no problem. Maybe an hour before they're ready for the babysitter to get there, plans change.
She gives her a heads up, 60 minutes out. There has been no travel of anybody. Nobody has had to uproot their life completely to get her there. So she's like, I don't know why this woman would call me and say, you should probably throw some money at my daughter for whatever reason. But Miranda had texted at 12. No, this is not someone who missed out on a shift at their other job. This is not someone who has bills to pay. This is someone who's just stepping into learning what it's like to work for money. And sometimes it sucks. I kind of agree with that.
I agree.
And then kind of don't. If my kid, if I knew that all week he was very excited to make that money, if anything, I'd probably throw him.
What did you sacrifice? Nothing. No job, no pay. Completely agree.
Maybe the parent has to transport this child and called off any plans. Maybe she's like, I can't meet for drinks this Friday. I have to drop my daughter off at her babysitting
gig. How about this? You're in Boston for an amazing weekend with your husband.
Okay.
You're planning on going out, so you order an Uber 40 minutes ahead of time. 20 minutes later, your husband gets sick. You got to cancel your Uber. Are you paying them?
You don't have to.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, like legally, you don't have to. I think that's
legally you don't have to pay this kid either.
So you're going to make the guy come either way, or you're just going to throw him a tip on the app?
I'm not going to give him anything because he didn't drive me anywhere.
Felicia says it's a kid, no bills. This one says life is disappointing. Let her learn it early.
Thanks, Leah. I agree with you 100%. I think you don't do the job, you don't get the pay. How about this? You decide you're going to get a new giant deck put on the back of your house. And the day before the job is supposed to start, you decide, nope, we're not going to do that anymore. Are you still going to pay that guy $20,000?
I think something is probably legally going to happen to you if you have a project all set.
I don't think so.
That's a bigger scale of a situation.
I just say no job, no pay. So thoughts on this? I'd love to hear yours.
So you know what I tried this weekend? I'm not a big ice cream person. I'm not like a really huge sweets person. I have to be in the mood. But I tried some caramel pecan ice cream.
Oh,
I felt like I was like 90 years old.
We used to sell a ton of that when I worked at Haagen-Dazs.
Caramel pecan?
Oh my God.
Am I saying it right?
Yeah, pecan, whatever.
Pecan.
Tomato, tomato.
But I'm like, this has to be the best flavor of ice cream ever.
How about like pralines and cream? Have you ever had that?
A praline?
Pralines and cream?
No.
What's a
praline?
It's a nut.
Google time.
Anyways, so you finally tried caramel pecan.
Yeah, I did. And I truly enjoyed that taste. I have never had that flavor before. And so I started asking, I asked Derek and I asked Liam, I'm like, what is the best flavor that you've ever had in your mouth? Liam is a marinara freak. He loves marinara. He can sniff out like a more of a ketchup-based marinara over a tomato-based marinara. He's kind of a foodie. What's
Can't
your favorite
say
flavor?
Marinara anymore.
Marinara.
It's easy for me is strawberry.
Strawberry, anything strawberry?
Anything. I love strawberries. I love strawberry, anything. Even like some of the worst protein shakes I've ever had. Like, I can't do the vanilla protein shake.
Yeah.
But, and even chocolate gets like gritty and weird, but strawberry is my jam. I will eat or drink anything with some strawberries.
I can't do, you know what I realize is like I go and get those protein bowls at like Cloud Nine or whatever, and I can only do banana. I just cannot do any fruit like what you like, the strawberry, the raspberry. I think it's too sour for me or tart. I don't enjoy it, but I want to open it up because everybody is going to have a different answer to what the best flavor in your mouth is.
Derek's into mango, and Sandy likes the oranges. Kayla just showed me all the strawberries she brought at the fruit truck this weekend.
Okay.
Didn't get around to that, but I appreciate you thinking of us. Tess, what are we digging on? Favorite flavor?
I would say chocolate.
Chocolate? Like what kind of chocolate? They say as you get older, like your tongue develops more of a need for dark chocolate. I cannot stand dark chocolate.
No way. I like it's the milk chocolate.
Just no,
like,
yeah, no dark chocolate.
Okay, milk chocolate.
Well, I mean, that's the weird thing. It's going to roll around here with Easter coming up. Everyone's going to be like, what kind of chocolate am I going to steal from my kids? If my kids had dark chocolate, I'd never jack any of that.
Speaking of Easter, I love Cadbury eggs, but it has to have the caramel. I don't like the cream.
Oh.
And no one ever remembers that.
Whoa.
Ever.
Yeah, the caramel, definitely.
Work on that one. Hey, Danny, tell us about what you really, really love, man.
Oh, no, this is going to make me sound pretty weird.
Say it.
I almost wish I gave a fake name. But I got to be honest, I love the flavor of Play-Doh.
Play-Doh?
What?
I don't even know what that would taste like. I hate the smell of Play-Doh. I know that.
I don't. There's no Play-Doh flavor anywhere. It's not on offer with anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. But it's just stuck in my brain as like, this is good. And I mean, it's crazy. Like, I know it's crazy, but like, even when I'm playing with like my nieces and stuff like that, you know, sometimes I'll grab a little piece.
You are an adult. You're supposed to be telling them not to eat the Play-Doh. They see Uncle Danny eating the Play-Doh.
I'm not showing them. it feels like a drug. It feels like I have to hide it from people.
You're like that, you know? Like TLC Strange Addiction show where they eat like drywall secretly in their bedroom.
I empathize with those people. Honestly, I kind of empathize with those people. I'm not going to that extreme. You know, I'm not like, you know,
eating your house.
I have to surgically remove a lump of Play-Doh from my stomach, but I do like the taste. I'll just say that.
Kate Middleton had stomach surgery. The last time they saw her was right before Christmas, and then she went in for stomach surgery, and they said she is going to be out until probably late May, early June.
They
told
just not
everybody
present
that.
Royals in a public setting if they're not fully well?
Well, why? Yeah, why would they?
I mean, if you had stomach surgery, so like you had when you had your colon surgery, you weren't out for 6 months.
I was not feeling well, but
right. I mean, so you're like, I got to get back to life.
But I mean, why not give her this bit of grace? You know, go ahead and heal, relax until you are 100% ready to go back and hit the road. Royals have a very busy schedule. They do a lot of philanthropic work, stuff like that. But now the debate is, how long does it really take for somebody to heal? Which everybody's case is different. I want to know if you've ever had a surgery where it took you way too long to heal. One thing I think is irresponsible is of doctors, they say, yeah, you should be good to go after this amount of time. Everybody heals in a different way.
You know what? They're actually, I'm not defending doctors here, but I think many times they're looking out for you because your insurance will only cover so many nights stay in the hospital.
Okay.
And I think if they think, here's what I've always been told, is if the odds of you doing poorly are higher than the odds of you doing well, mm-hmm. they'll do whatever it is necessary to keep you there, and they can sign off on it a little bit longer. But it's a numbers game. Like, remember my heart, I got a bad valve in my heart that'll eventually need to be replaced. But the odds of me dying on the table are still greater than the odds of me just dying in public. So until that happens, they won't do it.
So have you had a surgery and it took you maybe a little bit longer than you had hoped to heal?
This is Nicole. Tell us about your sister-in-law, will you?
She is like healing so slowly from her C-section. I mean, it's been like 3 weeks. I mean, after 48 hours, I was fine. Okay, I was up, I was doing things.
Yeah.
But no, my sister-in-law, I feel like she is totally milking this. She's making my brother do all these things. Yeah. I mean, I come from a line of very strong, adequately, you know, enough time healing women.
Yeah.
All right. And this one, it's like, come on, girl, let's get up, let's get with the program. And it's like, it's time to be a mom, okay?
Jeez. All right. I appreciate that. I'm going to put you on hold here before we get too much deeper into those weeds. Hi, Heather. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Great. Thanks for asking. Did you say when I'd answered your call earlier that you're currently recovering from surgery?
I had a surgery in December 18th. I had hiatal surgery, and my stomach was way up in my chest.
Oh,
okay.
And
what is it called?
Yeah, it was the hiatal.
Hiatal surgery. Okay.
Yeah.
A hiatal surgery.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, I had a hernia, and it was the size of a baseball, and it was pushing down on my heart and stuff, and I had to get in there emergency surgery.
Wow.
And so it was really bad. And so they had to push up all my tendons, and my stomach had to be pushed down to my stomach.
Uh-huh.
And it was really bad.
I've never heard of a hernia up that high where it could reach your heart.
How long did they tell you that you were going to be recovering?
I was recovering. I was in the hospital for one day and so that, but then I came home and I was recovering for I would say four to five.
Yeah.
Days, and it took a while, and then my stomach still hurts, and I had like 5 scissions in my stomach.
Jeez.
So hernia surgeries, a lot of people don't know, you're in and out. Like, you normally do not spend the night in the hospital. And
they just tuck everything back. They just tuck everything back behind the muscle and let you go.
They put the mesh screen in there. I went in for a hernia surgery as well, but they left a little metal suture inside. So that was a nice surprise when I got home. I was in like a ton of pain, had to go back in for surgery. God. Remember that? And it was things.
I know.
Really?
Baby. He's such a baby with this stuff.
You know what? When you get your heart surgery, I'm going to pop up at the window.
I've had when people have left metal things inside me. But Heather, you feeling a little bit better right now?
I'm doing a little bit better, but I still have issues and stuff like that when I like lay on my stomach and so that. But when they put the mesh in my stomach, it still hurts. But they said to not overeat and stuff, and I've been doing pretty good on that. And I used to weigh 295 pounds, and now I weigh 265.
So you've lost 35 pounds just post-surgery.
Yes.
Wow. Amazing recovery. We hope you continue to do well.
I will do that. You guys have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks. Hi, Casey. How are you today?
Good.
Good. These are some banana stories already. What do you got for us?
Mine common was a C-section, my second C-section.
Okay.
I did not heal very well. They say, 6 to 8 weeks recovery for that. But I had extreme bronchitis that I couldn't be treated for while I was pregnant because of the steroids you needed.
Wow. Yeah. So you're
so
coughing?
And while I was, on the surgical table, I was like, I have to cough. And they were like, go ahead. But, your abdomen is open.
Yeah.
So you can't get any pressure.
Oh, God.
I know. How crazy.
Yeah, so when I got done, I was like, are you guys going to give me, the steroids now so I can, not be sick? And they were like, no, not yet. And then I ended up ripping my incision open from so much coughing.
Girl.
Because you're just stapled. Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, my God.
It took a little longer, but...
So when that woman called in, I was like... I tried to stay quiet or else I would have said something. I healed so fast from my C-section, but there are a lot of women your case. What a weird random thing.
Yeah, how did that make you feel when she said that her sister-in-law was just being lazy?
3 weeks.
I mean, my sister was, a whiner. You got to get up right away, and they're walk, do this, do that, whatever. And it burns and it hurts, but everybody does heal differently. And depending on how you're cut, where you're cut, what they had to do, it's a serious surgery. It upset me a little bit. Everybody's different.
Yep.
If you knew how many times cats come in here after a long weekend saying it burns and it hurts, we'd all be on the same page here. So
don't laugh at him.
Thanks, Casey. Continue to heal well. Have a great morning. Talking $2,000 Tuesday. $2,000, easy to remember, right? All you got to do is be here about 7:25 to get your hands on $2,000 during the live show Tuesday morning. Right now, we put a wrap on the podcast. The year was 1991. Kat was 6 years old. She was probably eating glue and picking her nose. You had that amazing haircut that reminds everyone of Lloyd Christmas.
Too soon.
And I want to go back because one of the cool things is if you were really young in 1991, there's a pretty good chance you still have heard a lot of the amazing songs that came out in 1991. Yeah. So I put something together for you. What I need you to do is grab a piece of paper and a pen.
Got it.
And you can play along at home here if you want as well, or just kind of mentally play along. But I have a very, very cool compilation of songs that were all major hits in 1991. Just make a tick mark if you think you could identify the artist and title of each of these songs.
Okay.
They're going to go kind of quick, so best thing to do, unless you're driving, is probably close your eyes and focus on this. How many of these could you name as far as artist and title goes? These are all monsters from 1991. Let's go. Artist and title. Turn my world to black, come down the mud, sand and beach. Even though here we are now, entertainers, now my kids. Give it away now. It's the end of the world as we know it. I'm going hungry. I love this song. Top 10 for me.
Where are the females?
Fighting for the promised land. I don't need stop. A couple more.
Oh my God. I do like this song. Okay.
How many did you get?
What an upbeat era of music, by the way. Want to jump off a bridge. That was crazy. A
lot of angst.
I heard Bush, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Ozzy, Metallica.
There was no Bush in there.
There was Bush.
No, there
wasn't. There was a lot of Bush. you don't know what you're talking about. U2.
Yeah.
R.E.M.
A lot of R.E.M.
End of the World.
That year, the most popular groups obviously were Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and Nirvana, Metallica, Temple of the Dog. The Peppers were in there. You said U2, Stevie Ray Vaughan. Guns N' Roses had a couple of monster hits that year. Ozzy was really, really big.
No females, though.
None.
There was not one female. No. Not even any. No. There was no garbage in there.
Here's what I base this off of. These were the songs that got the most spins on radio that year across all the formats. So okay. You got to remember, it was a weird time because top 40 was either bubblegum or gangster,
yeah,
or heavy rock. And most of the stations that survived kind of went to the rock side and then came back to the more pop side or whatever.
Okay.
But a lot of people right now are saying, I'm not here to pick on other radio stations, but rock stations are struggling. Most rock stations across the country, they're struggling for ratings. They're struggling for revenue. A lot of people are using the phrase rock is dead. I don't necessarily know, but I wanted to flash you back to a time that it was way alive. I mean, if you listen to that compilation, most of those songs are big time rock songs that have survived. But how many did you check off? Did you count them?
I probably said I didn't do title and artist because I'm not that kind of person. I can either get an artist or a title.
Did you know most of the songs? Could have you sang along to most of them in your head? How'd you guys do? Anybody do better than seven? I thought it was kind of interesting to go down there because I think I would have been able to name everyone. Every day is 9 or 10. It's National Grilled Cheese Day or something like that. So today is one of the day. The things today is debunking day. So tell me a myth that you believe in that you would be shocked if it ever got debunked.
A myth
that
I believe in, that they move all of the rocks at Stonehenge on daylight savings time. I would be shocked to find out that that's not true. I feel like they're out there with bulldozers and they move
the
rocks.
Nobody moves them.
It's a joke, I know.
Oh, I got you.
Did you see the meme yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I swear to God.
Crews were busy overnight.
I haven't been anywhere near social media or a television or anything in the better part of a week right now. But I have three myths, and I want to see if you've heard about them. I think everyone's heard that the myth is that Napoleon was really, really short. We all hear about this, right?
And he was normal size.
Yeah, actually, he was 5'7", and that was the actual average height for an average 18th century Frenchman.
Okay.
So, not really short, just kind of bigger than he was. Another myth that I came across that I hadn't heard before. Did you know that MSG, like all the stuff you find in like Chinese food, can make you terribly sick?
It can make you terribly sick?
No, it can't.
Oh.
Like, have you ever heard? Oh,
I just know it makes you tired.
No, it doesn't do anything to
you. Oh, it makes me so tired.
That might just be the Chinese food.
Maybe.
Because we eat it in such giant quantities. But if you've ever heard that MSG will make you sick, that's a complete myth. It's been debunked by all sorts of food industries. And maybe they're just pushing the MSG.
Yeah.
But if you've ever heard of somebody be like, no, it has too much MSG. Unless you would eat a ton. Like, if you only ate Panda Express for every single meal at ginormous quantities, you could get sick from it. Otherwise, it's not going to hurt you.
Is that a good balance, though? You'll be a super happy person.
Oh, my God. But you'll be on the toilet all the time, too.
But then you'll be on the toilet,
And the last one, we've all heard the myth, probably when he had an art class in high school, that Van Gogh cut off his ear, right?
Right.
Not so much. Like, this guy was pained throughout his life. If you read about him, like, the dude was in a really, really bad mental state for most of his life. He only painted for 8 years.
Yeah, but where do we come up with this stuff? There's got to be some truth behind it.
He sliced off a very small part of his earlobe.
Okay.
And obviously excruciatingly painful if you take a razor blade or anything sharp and try and cut off a little part of your earlobe.
Then the dangerous game of telephone ended up being for all of us for the rest of history that he cut off his whole ear.
Okay. So he did not cut off his left ear. He cut off a little part of it. So I thought this would be kind of fun. What myth popped into your head as soon as we started talking about this?
You know, the one that I'd love for people to remember is that you can get pregnant in a hot tub. You know, here I am living my whole life.
By sitting on a toilet seat.
You can't get pregnant if you do it in a hot tub. You can.
I had always heard if you just get in a hot tub.
You can get pregnant.
You can get pregnant because
absolutely.
There's been people doing naughty things in there. That's a myth. Good. I don't think that's going to happen. But then there's been funnier things. But lots of myths going on today. I want to know, what was the one that popped into your mind when you heard us start talking about this? What's a myth that you've heard? And that you're like, man, I don't know if that's true.
Bingo! How fun!
Last week, someone lost an eye at bingo.
Bingo!
Bingo, what bingo?
Bingo!
Bingo!
All right, excited to see who's going to get the bingo. So, Naomi is on line one here. She was the first one through. Kat gets the bingo if Naomi...
Has ever needed to take the subway, as a mode of transportation. You lived somewhere like New York or somewhere else that was like a metropolis and you needed that.
You're taking your life into your own hands. To get on the subway in New York right now.
Yeah.
It's so dangerous.
Very violent.
I get the bingo if Naomi is a recovering addict. I met a guy over the weekend who was just hanging out in the bar. He didn't have any friends there, didn't know anyone there, drinking water. And he told me a story about how he had been addicted to cocaine and alcohol and literally lost everything. This is unprompted too, by the way.
Wow.
He just started telling me things. And I was like, I was all in. I kept asking questions and he was cool about telling me about it. So Naomi, who's going to get the bingo here, Kat or myself?
You are.
All
I'm
right.
a recovering addict.
Well,
okay,
I shouldn't
what?
Be applauding that, I guess, but are you recovering?
Huh?
Kat had asked of what?
Kind of everything, to be honest. When I was young, I fell into a bad crowd, started smoking weed and drinking, and it escalated to meth. But now I'm 3 years clean and going to nursing school. So
that is amazing. You know, you hear about the rock bottom stories. What was your rock bottom?
Probably just having nowhere to go and like nobody to turn to, you know, no job, no phone, you know, couch hopping. And there just comes a point where like you can't do it anymore, you know? So I decided it was time to grow up. And
was it another tough spot to be in when you decided to get sober? You had to cut off all of the contact from the people that were unsavory in the life that you were living before, right? Was that tough?
Actually, I didn't. I just moved out of town and kind of like separated myself from them. And then like once I was in a stable place, I was able to reach back out to them.
Okay.
But thankfully for me, a lot of those people that I was around got sober too. So now we all just kind of support each other.
That is great.
Great.
I
never
love
hear
that.
About that. Let me ask you a quick question. You had said with marijuana being legalized here now and these dispensaries are going to start popping up everywhere here in the next like 12 to 14 months. You had said, started smoking weed and drinking and stuff like that. Do you believe as a recovering addict that marijuana is a gateway?
I think it really depends on the person, to be honest. I think some people are able to handle it because they have the self-control. But I think there's other people that, you know, one thing will lead to another.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it really depends on, like, where the person is. For me, it kind of was a gateway because I was like 14 when I started smoking weed. And then I was hanging out with that crowd and someone was doing something else. I was like, oh, I should try that too. And so one thing led to another. But now that I'm older and I've been through recovery, I think once you have the mentality of, you know, you're just not able to do something, I think it makes it easier.
Okay.
I'm so grateful that you would share with us this morning. Last thing for you real quick. If somebody is struggling with an addiction right now, being 3 years clean and on the other side, what would be the one thing? If you could just tell them one thing right now, what would you say?
Just separate yourself from those people. And it's hard, but it's so worth it in the end. It really is. It's,
awesome.
It's so less stress-free and like, You don't even realize like who you are when you're in the middle of addiction. And once you're clean, like you find yourself again.
Super quick question. Last question. But do you have kids, you said? Or you don't?
Yeah, I have one kid.
Are you worried about that addictive personality? Because my husband, Derek, is 19 years sober from alcohol. And he's worried. We're both, you know, you never know what trait continues on to your children, you know?
I guess I never really thought about it, to be honest. I guess there is a little bit of a concern there, but I think you know, as a parent, if you've been through it, you kind of know what signs to look for. And if you can put a stop to it, you know, at a young age, I think that helps.
Okay.
How long till you become Nurse Naomi?
One more year.
All right. Get after it. We're proud of you. Thank you for sharing with us.